questions from the Bible. Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
And it's showtime. If you just tuned in and you're wondering what is going on, who are all these people? This is Bible Perspective. I am Nompumelelo Lombonane, standing in for Derek Viriri. Listen, he will be back very soon. Your favorite presenter will be back very, very soon. But for tonight, you are stuck with me and the three guests who kickstarted this conversation last week. We have Sister Zanele. We have Sister Nako. And I'm calling them sisters because I don't want them to come in here and give disclaimers. We're not pastors. We're not that. No, no, no. This is Sister Zanele. This is Sister Nako. And we also have Pastor Andrew. And I'm happy to see his face today, meaning he is not in the darkness. So we will all see his face. We will all see his expressions. And hopefully this time around, the network won't betray us. And we will be able to have a fruitful conversation. Welcome to Emotions 2.0. What is God saying about it? What does the Bible say about it? And, you know, as I was listening to last week's conversation, a couple of thoughts ran through my mind. And I thought, to kickstart this conversation, maybe let me try and answer questions that I had about this whole concept of emotions stemming from the conversation that took place last week. And the first question I had was, okay, cool. If we are emotional beings, what is the purpose of emotions? Why even have emotions? Why go through the roller coaster of being happy one time, sad the next time, scared, depressed, and whatever other emotion there is? And I've come to learn that what emotions serve as is really a profound and multi-dimensional purpose, right? At the core of it, emotions are signals. And I've always known this, but to have it reiterated to me as I dug deep into this topic, it was quite refreshing. They are signals. They are internal messengers that inform us, that guide us, that move us. They are not random. They are absolutely not random. And they exist either for survival, for connection, for meaning, as well as for growth. And when I dug deep, I found at the heart of it, emotions are there to serve six things, and they vary across just our entire human experience. And I'll go through them quickly. And after I've done that, I will then open the floor to my guests to give us some opening shots or points of departures. And then we'll have our conversation stemming from the heated discussion that was had last week, the questions that came out, as well as your comments that you shared with us on the platforms. Again, please don't be afraid to share your thoughts with us. Our WhatsApp line is +27734703520. You can also leave your comment on Facebook, on YouTube. We will read it out. We will interact with you just so that we hear your piece just as much as you will be hearing ours. Again, this is a discussion. Nobody's talking at you. Nobody's talking above you. We are all having a fruitful discussion, not from a place of knowing everything, but from a place of wanting to be insightful and to gain insight as well. So back on the emotions topic, the first thing I found that emotions serve to do is for our survival and protection, right? Emotions like fear, anger, and disgust are ancient signals from our nervous system to help us respond quickly to threats. For example, fear tells you need to flee. You won't see a lion and think, oh, what a beautiful creature. That fear will tell you are in danger. Run for your life. Anger can fuel protection and boundary setting. When you feel angry, it tells you that something isn't right here and you need to set a boundary, you need to set something straight. And disgust then keeps us from harmful situations and harmful substances or environment. Okay, the second thing that emotions serve to do is communication and connection. So emotions really help us to communicate our internal state to other people, often more powerful than words can. You've probably seen somebody cry mid a conversation, and it's because that signal is that emotion is signaling to you that they're vulnerable, that they're trying to draw empathy from the situation. They can't put to words what they are feeling. A crying baby even signals distress, and that for the parent evokes care. Or smile. Sometimes somebody doesn't need to say anything, but when they smile, you know there's approval, you know there's peace, and you know that is a welcome signal. The third thing, emotions serve as a self-awareness tool and for meaning making. What do I mean by this? Emotions are internal compasses. Yeah, they tell us what matters. For example, joy will show you where you feel alive. There are rooms and places where sometimes you just feel drained, but rooms that fill you up with joy. For me, this particular room is exactly that. And it tells me that this is where I come most alive. Sadness shows you what you value and what you have lost. You cannot be sad if you have the things that you need and the things that you value. But the minute you lose those things, it tells you, so it's your internal compass to say, you really, this thing really mattered to you, and losing it has affected you. Envy reveals unspoken desires. We're not just envious of people and things that we don't care about, but the minute you are envious, it means there's a desire in you that hasn't been fulfilled. Now, to act on this is a different story, like was discussed last week, but that emotion on its own is a signal to you that something here is unresolved. And guilt reminds you when you have violated your own values and God's values. So you see, every emotion serves a purpose. Every emotion is a signal to you about something that's running deep and something that you need to be aware of. Another reason is motivation and action. Emotions move us, literally. The word emotion comes from the Latin emovere, which means to move out. So desire fuels ambition or pursuit. If you don't have a desire for a thing, you're not going to pursue. We can ask Pastor Andrew here. He'll tell us that the thing that made him chase after that mama was the desire that he felt inside of him. You know, frustration leads to problem solving. If something frustrates you deeply enough, you will find a solution for it. And hope keeps us going. Without hope, oh my goodness, we essentially don't have a life to look forward to. I promise you, I'm nearly done with this, and then I can open up the floor to our guests. The penultimate thing that emotions really help us with is growth and transformation. Painful emotions are often invitations to grow. Grief can deepen compassion. There is nobody in this world who will ever relate to somebody who's going through a deep kind of grief if they themselves have not gone through that type of thing. So sometimes it's not even about us. It's about what we get to be for other people because we understand exactly where they are. Shame can prompt healing or reorientation. I'm pretty sure you've had brushes with shame, because with me, I was just like, this is not how your life is meant to go, because of that shame. And it helped me to restructure my life to a life that I'll be more proud of. And regret oftentimes produces wisdom. It's often the people who have a lot to say about things that have gone wrong, about things they shouldn't have done, that will offer up the best kind of wisdom. And finally, emotions are there for our spiritual and existential insight. For many, emotions are sacred whispers. Moments of awe connect us to something greater. You look at the world and you're just like, yeah, there must be a God somewhere. Longings point to eternal questions. They're just some things, however many conversations we want to have here on Business Perspective, there are some things that will never solve the longing and some things that will never solve the confusion we have. And that should really drive us to say, if I'm this confused here on earth, I know the one person who will answer that question. And it points us back to really having a yearning to be with the Lord at some point when he returns. And despair can become the soil where transformation takes root. So in case you were wondering, what is the point of all of it anyway? The point of emotions is exactly all the things that I've listed for you and all the things that I've presented for you. Are emotions from God? They certainly are. We are made in his image, imago Deo. And so if we are experiencing emotions throughout scripture, we see how God feels, how Jesus feels. And literally the things we experience in terms of how we feel because we are made in his image do come from him. And if you're wondering how, God, no, does he ever feel grief? Most certainly, it was read out last week that he regretted that he had made human beings on earth and his heart was deeply troubled. This is Genesis 6 verse 6. God also experiences compassion. In Psalm 103 verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. This is a God without sin, never been touched by sin, but we see him being moved by compassion for his children. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord our God is with you. He will take great delights in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God is a jealous God. Uzanele said last week in Exodus 20 verse 5, I, the Lord, am a jealous God. And I know people love to call that holy zeal, but whatever it is, that is a strong emotion. God is very jealous over us. Does he get angry? Most certainly. Numbers 12 verse 9, the anger of the Lord burned against them. And obviously we know about Jesus weeping in John 11, 35. We know that he overturned the tables, as Zanella's favorite scripture, overturned the tables out of anger and wrath. He says in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That is a man experiencing deep emotions. Whether he was man at that point or he was God at that point, we already know that if we're talking about God, we're talking about a father who is emotional. Whether he's emotional towards us or about us or just about how things are going, we know that God experiences emotion. And there's also love and joy. As the Father has loved me, says Jesus, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. I have told you this so that joy, my joy, may be in you. So we know that there is a model for emotions. God is our model. Jesus is our model. We are made in their image. And so experiencing emotions is not a worldly thing. It is, and I don't even want to say a godly thing, but it is not something that God does not have an experience with, because he too has emotions. I've been talking for a long time. This is what I normally do on Business Sense. I yap and yap and yap. But this is not Business Sense. It's Bible perspective. And it's not just my perspective that we want to hear. It's the perspective of everybody. And just before I open the floor, I realized that I didn't open with a word of prayer. And that is what I'm going to ask us all to do right now. Our Father in heaven, we invite you into this moment. We are so grateful that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there with them. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to get into our minds and get into our tongues, that everything will be saying here will not be things that we feel so strongly about outside of your influence and outside of your prompting and your leading. So I pray for Pastor Andrew, Sister Nako, Sister Zanele, as well as myself, that this conversation may be exactly what you have ordained, so that it lands in the hearts and the minds of those who you have assigned to be a part of this conversation, so that your purpose is served and your glory is given to your name. And so I thank you, dear Jesus, for honoring us. Thank you for ushering us into the Sabbath, a day where we get to rest, a day where we get to commune with loved ones, a day where we get to reflect on who you are and what you mean to us. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this moment. May your name be praised now and forevermore. Amen. Pastor, I am somebody who appreciates and acknowledges protocol, so I'll start with you. What is your point of departure? How are you? What do you want people to walk out of this conversation having and knowing? Pastor, I can't hear you. I don't know, is it from my side? Please speak, Pastor.
Good evening. Can you hear me
now? Yes, now I can. Now I can.
Thank you. I was just saying good evening to all of you, Zanele and Nako. Good to see you again, and our viewers and listeners this evening. I don't even know where to begin from, because I think you have just summarized everything so well, and I'm thinking, what am I even doing?
So. We've got a lot of questions, Pastor. We need you, okay? Nako left us with a cliffhanger last week. We need you.
All right. So, true, God does have emotions. Now, the thing about God is he created us in his own image. So we are like him in our expressions, our feelings. But he does not deal with emotions the same way we do. He is holy. Mm. He is just and righteous. Mm. We are not. And so our interpretations and reactions to emotions is from a place that is not as holy as God is, as just as he is, because we usually, almost all the time, we don't have the full picture in our reactions to emotions. And so, in as much as God is emotional,
yeah,
in as much as he expresses emotions, he does not express them in the manner that we do. And so, understanding the fact that, yes, this God has emotions, well, what scripture tells us about his emotions, and I like the fact that you have alluded to some of those scriptures. I like what he says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Actually, the entire chapter is about him expressing a range of emotions, from anger to disgust to joy, finally. But in verse 17, he says this: "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Now, this is as literal as it can get. I wish I had the latitude to speak about Sister White and the spirit of prophecy. But commenting on this particular verse, she says this: God will do when we get to heaven, and he will not just do sitting in his throne, he will stand from his throne.
That is so good.
And standing up, he will sing a song of joy to us because we have been saved. Now, this implies that actually, inasmuch as we cannot understand God in his highly exalted state, and he speaks with us in our human language for us to understand, this can be as literal as it gets. And if the prophet of God would say that he will actually stand to actually do this, what he says in verse 17, then we can rest assured that actually God expresses emotions in a manner that we can understand, because actually emotions are just an expression of his character. And so I hope that helps and settles the dust.
Yeah, that's absolutely lovely. Nako, for you, I know last week, the point of contention, you caused a lot of riff-raff last week. You had people questioning a lot about their own theology. And I guess your bone of contention was, is God emotional literally, or are these metaphors? Are these things meant to actually help us understand him better? If he used different languages or different expression, would we actually understand his relation to us? And would we understand his relation to us? And would we be able to resonate with that? And that got me thinking about whether or not the discomfort with God's emotion was because we assume that emotions are unstable. And so if emotions are unstable and they really reflect what we are seeing around us, is that where the discomfort was? That we can't associate emotions with God because we can't even trust our own emotions. Walk us through your thinking and what you want people to walk out of this conversation with.
All right. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. And hello, viewers and listeners at home. You know, when you spoke, I was like, oh, okay. So it's difficult, you know, when your host comes in and they make their view so plain to say, this is my... like, you know what, in my house we don't drink water, so it becomes very hard for you to ask for water. And that's exactly what you did. You just plainly stated what your perception is, what your belief is, and what your conviction is. I just have a few questions. If you are saying God is an emotional being, I think that when you explained why we have emotions, I wanted, then why does God have those emotions? You said can be as a signal, emotions can be as guidance, emotions are there to warn us, emotions are there to show us things. And I'm here thinking, does God need guidance?
That's so good.
Does he need to be signaled to say, hey, Baba, look, you're about to get into a danger. Be careful.
Yeah. Does he need to grow? Does he need to be transformed?
That's why I keep wondering. Are we not, what are we saying? Are we saying God exists within limitations? Because emotions are something that comes from external stimuli, for instance. So God can be stimulated by things external, which are limited to God. Does it mean God has limitations, which emotions are not limited to God? Because that means God, can God be anxious? If God is anxious, doesn't he know the future?
Also, then we're in trouble. If God is anxious, we're in trouble.
The nature of God, to me, the nature of God says what we find, the rejoicing, the anger that we find is for us to understand, to be able to relate with God better. If the Bible says he got angry, the Bible says he rejoices, is for us to be able to relate with God better, because God is perfect. The nature of God is transcendent. He is limited by things outside. So that's the questions I have when the pastor says this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm confusing people further.
No. You're asking the questions that we need to all ask, right? Because I think if there's one thing that will do us all an injustice and a disservice is if we just take the Bible or what we've heard without questioning it for ourselves. God does not want us to be passive at all. He wants us to bring our wisdom. He wants us to bring our critical thinking. And so I think it's very, very important that we ask these questions. And I'm glad that you've posed the question. Let's open the floor to Uzanele and then we'll come back. We'll circle back to, does God then need emotions? What purpose do they serve where he is concerned? I love that you've asked that. Zan, what are people meant to walk away from this from? When you were reflecting on the conversation you had last week, what sort of reflections came up for you and what did you want to bring to this particular conversation this week?
Disclaimer.
No, I freed you. Let's hear it.
No, with what Nako just said, right, saying that God is perfect.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go to one of the last words I said last week, you know, before we ended, that God is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He is, you know, all of those things. Let's shy away from wanting only the good God, if I can put it. I'm not saying he's bad. It's for lack of a better word, right? Let's shy away from a wholesome God. Let's not shy away from a wholesome God. He is perfect in his anger. He is perfect in his wrath. We've seen that, you know. And I love the questions that Nagoi has, and even the ones, you know, from last week, to say he is so... God is intelligent, né?
Yeah.
He's very, very intelligent. So I tend to believe that when he imparted the knowledge, or he gave the people the scriptures to write, he knew that we are going to understand exactly what is written. Because it's not prophecy. When it said that God was angry at the people and then he killed them, it's not prophecy.
Yeah.
It's not something that we must spend years and years and you know, trying to figure out like what happened with Daniel and in the book of Revelation. It's not prophecy.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. It's as simple as God saying love is patient, right? When he says that, why then don't we want to accept and acknowledge the other side of God, if I can put it that, you know, for lack of a better word? I think sometimes when we have this conversation, we always say, yeah, we must speak about the God of the Old Testament as if like he's a monster. No, he's not. He's perfect, you know. And when we spoke about the external factors, you know, these definitions, it's so super. These definitions are going to be a problem. You know, we can't define God. We can't define God. I think we have accepted that. That we can't define him. We can't put a pen and paper to exactly who is God, you know, those kind of things. So I would say for this particular conversation, it's so interesting also that we're having it, that for us to take the definition of emotions that we have, you know, Nako in fact defined it perfectly last week. Me, Shem, I always go the other side. That's why I always have disclaimers, you know, and you also came up with the definition today. And when we are looking at those in quotes, worldly definitions of emotions, God doesn't fit. He doesn't. But looking at it, when we are reading scripture, it's not like, you know, we are taking this from someone's visions or some, no, it's from scripture itself. God was angry. God, Jesus, yeah, you see that one pastor loved so much that day. Jesus was angry and in his anger, you understand?
Yeah.
This is who God is, you know. So for me, it's, let's accept that. Let's accept that we can anger God. We can anger him. We can make him happy. We can. That's why that song says, when our praises go up, you know, his blessings or his something, something comes up. Because he's happy. You understand? God, yo, God, guys, yo, God is yonkinto. God is everything. Unless we can't take the nice and leave out what we think is not nice.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't want anyone who's watching to think, ah, she's distracted, she's on her phone. No, I'm making notes as my guests are speaking, just so that I don't forget what is being said. And for you, Zen, you just said right now that when we define emotions using worldly definitions, it does not encompass the definition of emotions for God. And so I'd love to hear from you. When we think about and talk about God being emotional, what is a definition that fits him? Being this omniscient, being this powerful, being this almighty, being this perfect, wholesome God. What is that definition that would fit him?
Is that he embraces all emotions, guys.
But that's not a definition. Angry, that's not a definition. Yeah, but
that's why I said these definitions are going to be a problem. Nako will decide there. Me, I...
And maybe throwing it to Nako is actually great, because I was wondering if because even last week you had the sentiment, right, Nako, that we can't say God is emotional. So I want to know, when texts like Genesis 6 verse 6 says he was deeply troubled, when Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says he rejoices over us with singing, when Isaiah 63 verse 10 says they grieved his Holy Spirit, that's grief, right? When John 11 verse 5 says Jesus wept, if God is not emotional, then what do these things tell us about what he is then? What is he?
Okay, before we get there, I just want another definition that is a godly definition. You know, please, because Zanella was saying
it doesn't fit our God.
The definition of God with those emotions. So my question, I really want to get that, but based on what you just asked, like I said, I'm not a pastor. Let's make this a disclaimer. I'm not a pastor. Just a girl in church.
Yeah.
And a God. And I don't want us to look at God. I don't want to confine God to my human understanding. Think of God as bigger than who I am. Of course, I'm created in his image. And when I read certain verses that you have just mentioned, I'm taking them to say, this is for me to understand God. Because I can be angry. It's for me to understand. Because, you know, when anger happens, there are certain physical changes that happens in our body.
This is true.
When we are hormonal changes that also happen in our body.
Mm-hmm.
It is not only... something that is outside a human body. And when I read about all those emotions that are put in the text, I am saying, okay, I need to understand that God appreciates this, or God does not want this, or God wants this. So I have to understand that. But I'm here now thinking, if God has all these emotions, that means, are there some physical changes that happen to him? Like, does his heart beat faster when he gets angry? Does he have a heart? When we talk about a heart, we are talking about, I'm talking about a heart in its physical form, you know? And there are so many texts also that talk about God's heart, you know? That we talk about God's heart, but do we mean he has a physical heart?
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting with the questions that you're asking is that in the question you answer yourself as well. The first thing you said is you shy away from us wanting to use our human experience to understand God's emotion, right? And so it's your human experience that you get heart palpitations when you're angry or you get flustered, and that is your human experience. So it's interesting that even in your tension and trying to understand what all of this is where God is concerned, that your own wanderings bring you back to the point you were trying to make. And if I'm capturing what you're saying correctly, please help me, please correct me if I'm wrong. Are you acknowledging or are you saying that the emotions attributed to God in scripture then are not emotional swings, but holy expressions of his character? Because you've just said they help you understand him better. So are you acknowledging or saying to us that what we are seeing when all of these are described about what God is experiencing or feeling or going through is really just an expression of his character and what he thinks or believes about a situation in his moments? And so when we think about God experiencing grief, then it's not him being surprised. It's him grieving over the situation. If it's anger, it doesn't express volatility, because anger for us is one moment I'm really mad at you, the next, okay, it's fine. Judging based on maybe we've had the conversation or not. And perhaps his compassion isn't even him being emotionally unstable, you know? And so I really want to hear from you. Do you think or do you believe or are you saying to us that what we are reading here is basically an expression of God's character and his idea or his interpretation of a situation? And so those are expressions of a God who cares and not a God who's caught off guard, like you were wondering last week.
Partially what you're saying is what I'm saying, but not
who has
feeling that in me. So I don't want us to include, I don't want us to capture what I'm saying as a God who has feelings.
And why not? Why can God not have feelings? What is wrong with feelings? Because what I'm understanding is you believe fundamentally there is something wrong with emotions that we cannot attribute to God. Okay, you're not.
No, I'm not saying there's something wrong with emotions.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay.
And I'm just saying God is bigger than feelings.
Does that mean he can't have feelings? Him being bigger than feelings, does it mean he can't have them?
I don't think he can have feelings. As much as I don't think God has a physical heart.
Okay.
Yet the Bible talks about, Hosea 1:18, how can I give you Ephraim? How can I hand you over Israel? My heart is changed within me. Like, does it mean that God has a physical heart that gets changed within him? So that's what I'm saying. Those are expressions for me to understand that God does not want this. God wants this.
Mm.
Him as a monster.
Mm.
I don't see God as a monster that does not...
who's distant and cold and cannot be moved.
And cold.
Yeah.
I don't want to attribute feelings to his godliness. I think he exists outside feelings.
I think that could be potentially dangerous.
Can we agree? Can we agree that the definitions we have, be it from Oxford, be it from Merriam-Webster, or from just Google, now from all these AI things, that the current definitions of emotions, they can't encompass our God. Simple. Because I think that the moment we understand that, it would be easier for us to understand, we can't really understand God, but try to understand, this wholesome God we have, because I think what is actually making us go in circles from last week and this week is the fact that we want to box God from this particular definition that has been given by us humans. You understand? But at the end of the day, he does have, or he has shown Okay, Lord knows, you see, heaven show now English, Fundis, you will come in there with the theology English. does or have? We have seen God show emotion. It's recorded in scripture. He has shown us that, right? Whether he has a physical heart or he does not have a physical heart.
Is immaterial.
But the interesting thing for me is that with these scriptures, where we are seeing the emotions, now I'm going to quote in quotes, the emotions. Now we are quoting in quotes emotions because we are not sure what it is. Is that there is a circumstance that led to whatever that God has done, right? When we're looking at Pastor's example from last week, Jesus came there. It was a trap for me, as I see it. They wanted to see whether he's going to perform good deeds on the Sabbath or not, which felt like a trap. And that was a circumstance that led Jesus to be angry. When now we are seeing the scripture saying that Jesus was angry. When we go back to the Old Testament, where God wiped people off like from the face of the earth, it's even saying that they turned their face away from God. They did X, Y, and Z. They worshipped Baal. You understand? Like, there is a circumstance that led to God's wrath. So we cannot say that, hey, agana, or in quotes, emotions. He has shown us his emotion. He has shown us, I mean, he himself said it, guys. He said, God said, I'm whispering, God said it himself. He is a jealous God.
He did.
He himself.
It wasn't that Moses that said, let me tell you something about God.
So I think let's just agree that the definitions we have, we can't really put it there. If I were to explain to my child now about emotions and God, I should just run away from the descriptions or the definitions and just, you know, maybe in theology they do teach, we don't know, Mfundisi, you know.
And you know what? You know what, Zen? I think it's the definitions are great because what they are helping us understand is what we are trying to understand. The whole point here wasn't to, the point of this entire discourse, even from last week, wasn't to ascertain whether God has emotions or not. It was to help us understand our own emotions from a Bible perspective. So I think the definitions are great because they help us, whether they come from psychology or they come from sociology or whatever it is, they help us have a frame and a thinking around what our experience is as humans. And when we then reference what God experienced and what he tells us in the word based on his own experience of the world and Jesus' experience in the world, it makes the whole definition and understanding easier. And I think at this point, I just want to center what we have been talking about from a theological point of view. So, Pastor, having heard the exchange and the discourse, what is running through your mind? What are the insights you'd love to share with us that we, as people who haven't gone to theology school, don't have view of?
All right. So my mind was just slowing down as I was listening. So maybe let's just slow down a little.
Yes.
Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Yeah. Before chapter 3. Before sin, God has a relationship with Adam and Eve.
Yep.
We agree, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has to express this relationship with them in a certain way. And so in chapter 3, the Bible tells us that he would come in the cool of the day to commune with them because he is a person of God. And so his relationship with human beings has to be expressed through emotions.
100%.
And so now here is the thing. God has created man in his image. The man is sinless and holy. They are not the same. Adam is not the same as God, even in his sinless state. They're not the same.
Yep.
And so God has to come down to the man and have a relationship with him. The man then sins. He was not the same with God as God before he sinned.
Yeah.
But now after his sin, he is even far off. Now, the man has sinned. God comes down to the man and he meets him, and he comes like he would come all the time in the cool of the day, walking in the garden. And man realizes God has come, so he flees. And God calls out as though nothing has happened. Adam, where are you? See, you don't see emotion in God right here. So God is not moved by external factors.
Ah.
Yet, what Adam has done is something that displeases God, because God asks him a question. Wait, Adam, he tells him, I hid because I heard your footsteps in the garden, so I hid. So wait. Why did you, who told you you were naked? Why did you, now, God is asking him, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit of which I commanded you not to eat? Now, again, you don't see emotions. You just see provoking questions, but you don't see God's emotions. It is not that God is not emotional in his provoking questions. He is simply soliciting an apology from Adam. And at the end of the apology doesn't come. After all that God has done, the apology doesn't come. God has not received an apology from Adam. And yet in his loving nature, because he's an emotional being, he has to forgive for this man not to die immediately. So he forgives him and then sets a condition that will redeem the man. And so in verse 15, he then gives a prophecy that will redeem the man. And in all of this, it seems as though God is not emotional. There is no emotion in this. But you can read through the lines and see God's emotion. When he tells Adam that you sweat, you can see God, the relationship between God and Adam has changed. You tell him you will sweat because of your sin. However, you will be redeemed. You can still see the still love for God to the man. And so the idea of emotions with God is simply a reflection of how God deals lovingly with his creatures. It is not the fact that God deals with emotions the same as we do. He responds to circumstances with emotions as we do. Not the same. We were never the same, even in our sinless state. And now that we are in a sinful state, we are even far removed from the ideal that God intended for us. And so, as far as emotions are concerned, they are simply a reflection of his holy character, his holy nature, and a reflection of his loving relationship with his creatures. When God deals with us through emotions, he does not deal with us arbitrarily. They are all the emotions God that expresses in scripture as he deals with us are an expression of his consistent to his justice, his holiness. Because as far as God is concerned, justice must not only be seen to be saved, but justice must be saved, because justice demands that we rectify our wrongs. And so these are simply just an expression of him. And let me close here. God is literally a personal God, literally. And so for me personally, God wants a relationship with me personally. So much so that in my relationship with him, he, because he's a personal God, he must show me his displeasure when I do something cool. He must show me his love when I have done right. He's a personal God, so he relates with human beings on a personal level. The definitions, unfortunately, are limited to human language. Now, this is English we're using. Now, English, emotion in English is exactly that.
Motion. Energy in motion.
It's exactly that. And so, God, who is above language, he is transcendent, he is above feeling, comes down and brings himself within our language, within our feelings, to show his relationship with us. That doesn't make him a being who relates emotionally as we do. He doesn't. But he has to have a relationship with us that has to be personal, and he must show it so.
So if I'm understanding and I'm seeing Nako nod her head like, yay, we're winning. This time we're all moving on the same page. And I love that there's a consensus. So if I'm understanding you correctly, Pastor, we can say, and I think this would also include, and again, we're not trying to limit or box God in any way. But if I'm understanding you correctly, what we're coming out of this particular discussion with is that what emotions then are a tool or mechanism for us to relate to one another. So depending on how I'm feeling, what you're doing, what the emotion does serves as a tool, an indicator of where we are relative to what is going on and what I'm thinking or feeling about you relative to maybe what I'm doing or what you're doing. Am I understanding you right in that it's a tool of expression to help us navigate relationships well?
You're exactly right. And in so saying, God does not deal with them in the same manner.
Mm.
Uh-huh. But for us human beings, you're exactly right. Emotions help us just interpret the environment around us and to deal with one another and to deal with this very God who is a person. However, he doesn't deal with us in the same manner.
I love that. Renee Humphreys is saying, agreed, Jesus reacted like we too react to people, especially when we disagree or are hurt or are disappointed by them. And now that we are all now singing from the same hymn sheet, Nako is smiling. She is finally feeling heard and understood. I want us to discuss this next. Do you perhaps believe that the church has taught people to reflect God's image and hide their own? Or have we gotten to a place of understanding the place of emotion even in our relationship with one another and with God? I'll start with you, Nako.
Can you repeat your question about the church?
Yeah. So do you think the church has taught people to reflect God's image or to hide their own?
Maybe I think we need to define what a church is.
Let's go.
Because a church could be a system, or a church could be people.
Yeah.
Church in the people context doesn't necessarily mean the system in its own entirety. Because the system may be like this, but the people will go this way.
Mm.
I believe that the church has set a platform for people to be able to express their feelings, but touch the system. But then the church, the people, because of many reasons, we find it very difficult to acknowledge certain emotions when people express them. When somebody says, I'm not happy with 1, 2, 3, 4 things, and if we are talking about the church, the system, it's okay for us to do that. But as humanity, we, for lack of a better word, sometimes we find ourselves intimidated when people express their emotions.
This
when
is
people
true.
Express, you will realize that if I am in a leadership position, and Mpumi, you come to me and says, "The church is not doing well here. 1, 2, 3, 4." I am disappointed by the church here, here, here. I will take it as a personal attack. But this is not a personal, and this goes to an individual level as people who need to grow more in terms of emotional intelligence, that we need to understand people's emotions and also understand our very own emotions so that we don't limit God.
That term again. Yeah.
Can you please express the second question again so that I can attend to it?
So it was essentially that. I think it was just one question said differently, whether or not we find ourselves in this whole construct of church and understanding God, shying away from owning up what we are feeling and maybe feeling that what we feel does not reflect God because God just wants us to, I guess, be rational and logical all the times and not tap into what we're actually experiencing internally.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's that. I think the also other thing that I need to add in is also how I express my feelings.
That is so good.
I think at all times, I need, while I express my feelings, I need to also be aware of other people's feelings. Express my feelings should not be in a way that it'll hurt other people and disrespect other people, humiliate other people, and a lot of other things. I need to understand that while I am an emotional being, the other people that I'm are also emotional beings.
I'm so happy that you brought that up, because that's literally where I want us to go next. And maybe we can invite Uzanele and the pastor into this particular one. Where we draw the line between being emotionally honest and being emotionally harmful. Because you'll hear people say things, I'm brutally honest. And you're thinking, does honesty need to be brutal? Because you can be honest and still very gentle. And the example that you gave is so powerful also, in that we express maybe our disgruntlement, our disappointment, or our sadness over how things are done, and people suddenly take those things personally. And to that, somebody will say, but I'm not responsible for how you feel. I'm only responsible to communicate what I need to communicate with you. So where do we draw the line between being emotionally honest and being emotionally harmful? I'll start with you, Zan.
Question before I answer. Who are we being honest with in terms of our emotions? If it's to our brotherhood, that's a different story. If it's to God, so which one are we being honest with when it comes to our emotions?
Let's start with the church. The church being people.
Why?
I already don't like where your answer is going.
Why? Disclaimer. No, when I'm about to go left, I have to give a disclaimer. We speak about, you know, the emotions that I have towards other people,
yeah,
or towards to God, but then now how do I express them to the church?
The emotion you have as you relate to other people. So maybe it's concerns about the church, concerns about things that were done or said to you, any emotion that has got to do with your relationship with others.
It's very difficult, guys. It's very difficult. And difficult in the sense that we are human beings, eh? And we are, for lack of a better face, we catch feelings very fast.
This is true.
And even if I want to express how, making an example, I'm not speaking about anything that has happened or is about to happen. No, I'm just making an example. For example, I'm not happy about how we conducted the book distribution, or how the communication about the Pathfinder campaign took place. I just want to express that. But as people, we catch feelings. And it's not only to the person that we are expressing towards, even us, the people who are delivering the message. Like now I can go to Pastor and I'm like, yo, you see, you know, Pastor Mkandawirene, I call him Pastor Drew every time I would speak to him. So now Pastor Drew as well, he'll be like, ha, why is this woman disrespectful? Why does she cut my name? Why, you understand? Was I as well, I'm just coming, you know, being me and everything else.
Yeah.
But then now the feelings are being caught, you understand, in between. Or you find that as a parent, I'm up in arms. Yeah, why was the communication like this? Yeah, why did we do this? Why did our children have to stay, you know, till Vespers, yeah, till 6 p.m. at church? You understand? So as human beings, we catch feelings a lot, and on both sides. However, we do have to adhere to scripture, where in Matthew there, where they say, when you are not happy with your brethren, talk together. If it doesn't work out, call Pastor Drew to come and mediate your boy into that situation. But now, if it comes to God, guys, I feel like with God, like be that 3-year-old child, you know, where we go to God, we love Him, we tell Him about everything. Sometimes we even throw tantrums. You know how children are.
Yeah,
we even throw tantrums, but in a orderly way, if there's such a way of throwing tantrums in an orderly way. But with God, I feel like we just have to let it all out. If I'm angry, I'm angry. God, I don't understand. What are you doing? But like me, I'm not Job. So why should I go what Job went through? I'm not him. So those kind of things. But with people, next thing, Sabbath, you are a sermon.
Oh, for sure.
On the pulpit.
Oh, for sure.
Bruna will be coming there and say, even through, you are going through like Job did. Hold on. I'm like, how? But Mfundis, I was just...
That's my story.
Journey, you know? Yeah. So it's a bit complex. It's a bit complicated. However, I feel like, it's to his own sometimes. And yeah.
And Pastor, as you come in to answer this question, I'd actually like for you to bring in whether or not the Bible has a model for us where emotional intelligence is exhibited. So I love that Nako brought it up, because when it does come to addressing things and expressing emotions with people, we need to apply a great deal, a great degree of emotional intelligence. Do we have a model in the Bible?
Oh, yeah. So, yes, we do. I'll end with that question.
Fantastic.
I wanted to just add a word on the earlier question you asked about the church, shielding God in such a way that we should not express ourselves in this manner, but rather in this manner. Mm. I find that very common in Christianity.
Mm.
Like, the entire religion of Christians is extremely hypocritical. Like, we in our church, it is very hard to have one question authority.
Mm.
Very, very, very hard. And it's not like you disagree. No, you just don't understand and you want to seek understanding.
Mm.
And this God actually invites. I mean, God would have us express ourselves to him as much as we can. We have examples in scripture of people who expressed doubt, people who expressed disbelief, they could not come to terms with the fact that God was about to do certain things, and so they went ahead and questioned him. Abraham, for example, when God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he says to him, surely the king of the universe do such a thing, you know, until God tells him, no, I am going there to see if the sin that has come up to me is truly so. And so Abraham then realizes, oh, okay, all right. And then he begins interceding because he's questioned it, but he's not satisfied with the answer.
Yeah.
And so he goes on and on. And so the church shields God in such a way that it actually stifles human thinking.
This is true.
And expression. I think that it is not God the church shields, it is itself. And I'm talking about the church being the system.
Yep.
And I think it is in a way to shield itself that the church does that. So to answer your question, yes, unfortunately it is happening quite a lot in the church. And concerning your question about
emotional intelligence, Pastor.
I've even confused myself about the earlier question you asked.
Are you wondering about the one where about whether we have a model of emotional intelligence from the Bible?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I hope that we'll have time to go through some of them. Yes, we do. Scripture tells us, we dealt with this last week. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, be angry, but don't sin afterwards.
Mm.
Now, speaking of, I mean, let's just ride on that particular one. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 4, first of all, we have been taught there should be a limit to how you handle anger, so don't sin. But in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, do not be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And so, we do have examples in scriptures of how we ought to handle emotions. But overall, scripture tells us that with all our emotions, we ought to bring them to God in humble supplication, seeking guidance how we handle them and react to them. And the Bible says the peace of God will guide us in our reactions to these particular emotions.
Yeah. I love that you're saying that, Pastor. And I think from what has been said right now, and even from the very beginning of the conversation, is that in all honesty, and maybe this is the challenge we're having from the beginning, is that we as humans don't necessarily reflect God's emotions by feeling everything he feels perfectly. You know, and maybe this is the challenge that we have ever so often, but we can reflect him by cultivating spirit-led emotions, like you're saying, Pastor. And when we think about things like love and compassion and joy and righteous anger and godly sorrow, it puts us on track to be able to express those emotions well. And I think the goal here is not necessarily emotional suppression. It's emotional intelligence. And I do want us to come back to this if we've got time a bit later about what it actually looks like. Because when we talk about emotional intelligence, we're talking about managing your own emotions, being able to regulate your own emotions, like was the parting shot Yaka Zanele last week, but also being able to manage how you receive other people's emotions as well. And I think if we can delve deep into that a bit, we would go a long way. I see here Usimba Mazani is saying the safest course of action is to take your rawest emotions to God and ask him to guide you on how to react to the people who aroused those emotions. That's such a power move. Even if you don't agree with how he says you should go about it, not my will, but thy will be done. That statement is the pinnacle of emotional intelligence, in my opinion. And it is so, so powerful, Simba. That is such a powerful contribution. And while we're on this, right, about how we express our emotions to God, we do read in Job that Job vents out his grief and anguish to God. In Psalm 13, David says, how long, O Lord, will you forsake me forever? He was also very grieved by the things that were going on. In Lamentations 3, we see deep despair poured out to God by his children. And so I'm wondering, and this is a more personal question than anything, have you ever felt like you couldn't pray what you were actually feeling? Like, God, can I really say this? Yeah, I know that you hear all things, you know all things, but can I really say this? Have you found yourself feeling like you have to stifle an emotion or handle it yourself and not present it to God? And what might that do to your relationship with God if we dared to be emotionally honest with him? So I'll start with Nago. I'll go to Zen, ladies first, Pastor, and then I'll come to you. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're just like, I don't think I can be fully honest with God about how I'm really feeling, because it would shake your relationship with him at that moment?
I think I have in the past had that moment, but I've come to realize that God is not human, and God does not perceive things the way I perceive things. So I might as well just tell him how and what I'm feeling, because he has allowed me to ask for things that he knows I need. And why should I now then fail to express? And I think the more when I express to God exactly how I'm feeling, it helps me, one, sometimes it helps me heal. Two, it helps me understand myself better. Mm-hmm. Because there are some certain things I can talk to anyone about, but if I talk to God about them, the more I say them out, it's like I'm doing this, I'm a 2K's things or my 14, Dear Diary.
Yes.
You know? It's like I'm doing it. And because now it helps me, it calms me down, honestly. So I don't see anything wrong with expressing how I'm feeling to God. As long as I'm doing it in a humble way, I'm doing it in the most respectful way. It's just that growing more, especially in the African context, you can't tell you're adults, like the pastor was saying, when you tell authority or when you express your emotions and your feelings to authority, they feel like you're questioning them.
Yeah.
I'm not, when I express my feelings, I don't question his authority. I don't question his ability. I don't question his godliness.
Mm.
I'm telling him how. But I think the problem, or there's a very thin line between expressing how we feel to God and questioning his authority. And I saw a conversation that was going on last week on the AWR group, where somebody was saying that when you are telling God how angry you are, it's like you don't you're not appreciating of the good things. You don't have gratitude. You appreciate the good things that he has done for you. But I saw the conversation that Job had with God. And to me, that was the most fulfilling conversation that Job had with God. Because that God told him, do you know who tells where the seas of the waters of the sea should stop? Do you know who put in place where the stars should be?
And were you there? Were you there?
You know, were you there when I did all those things? So to me, it is what I need to talk to God so that he can show me certain things that I'm failing to understand. Not that I lack gratitude. I'll always appreciate it. But I'm not happy about God. I'm not happy about how you are making me go through this.
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to manage? Please show me that I'll be able to manage. I still, that's one of the things that I really get excited about heaven, is that I have one question about a certain thing that happened that I want to sit down face to face and talk to Jesus. Jesus, why did this thing happen like this?
Zan, what has your experience been?
I'm guilty of something, ne?
Oh.
Yeah, that thing of God knows my heart. You know, he knows the things will happen, ne? But when I now come to talking to God and praying, I've been guilty of not really telling him how I actually feel. Because when it comes to that, like, I want to express God, ne, yes, there's someone I think we could lay hands on. Because how do
it's not make sure.
No, but when it comes to I've always had that thing of God knows what's in my heart. So I would, if I'm praying, I'll just pray about everything else besides that particular situation or how I'm actually feeling. So I'm guilty about that, Tim. I won't lie. And I remember there was this other conversation we had this other day on Mid-Morning Empowerment, you know, about taking petty things to God, you know. So that was also one of the questions I've had, that, like, do we really, like, honestly, taking everything to God? Like, that's petty, you know. And from that conversation, you know, when we had those conversations with my other colleagues, we were on air, in fact, and the listeners on AWR, they also made me realize that there's nothing petty when it comes to God, you know. Because there would be situations where I'm like, even if I pray about this, it's pointless. Not because it's a worse situation, nothing can be done about it, but I'm just like, I'm wasting God's time. Like, a part of me doesn't want him to really do anything about it, because if you understand that kind of a situation, like, why would I pray about, sorry, I'm going to use you, you know? Why should I pray about now God troubling me? Why? Let me just continue praying for my children and praying for the sick people and everything. So I've been guilty about that up until late last year when we had that conversation where it's like, no. When you are with God, everything, just pour your heart. But still, I don't know if maybe I'm blessed. I don't know. But I've not had that Job situation, even if it's just one of those things, just one thing where it would make me pray to God, and I'm like, how? Njani? What's going on? You know? Maybe I'm blessed. Like, I've not really had that. Or maybe I have had situations that would make me want to question God and stuff, but I've just let it be. in that sense that he knows. And sometimes I comfort myself with that scripture that it's not a scripture, let me not lie. That says that, you know, God gives his toughest battles to his people. So yeah, maybe I use that. Yeah, no, it's not a scripture. No. I had to quickly correct it. This is Bible perspective, Pen. So maybe I comfort myself with such that I can do this. There's no way God is going to put me this, you know, through this without him having a plan. Okay, for me is to say, God, yes, I'm in the storm. Please make it end faster or give me the power to hold on. But I've never really had a situation where I go and question God. And I think even when my sister died, well, my dad is another story. I didn't even have that thing of going to pray. Because hi, bo God, Pera, this is the one sister I was close to. Why situation? I was like, oh, okay, it has happened. All right, let your will be done, get God. Let's cry our hearts out and move on. So I think I've just have that in me, just so I don't know.
Two questions I have for you, and if it's too personal, please by all means tell me and we can move to the pastor. So the first one is, do you generally have a good relationship with your emotions? And I'm saying this because it sounds like there's a little bit of a suppression going on, I figured. And secondly, how would you rate your, and this is an awkward question, but just track with me. Mm-hmm. How do you think you fare where emotional intelligence is concerned? And I'll ask this piggybacking of what Unako said earlier, that prayer serves two purposes in the context of what we're discussing here. Number one, it becomes a filter, right? Because you pour out and you pour out and you pour out and you're able, it's a cathartic experience, and it filters out even the things you wouldn't say to the person that's really aggrieved you. You're able to pour it out to God. But also, then I think the subsequent thing is that it then gives you perspective. In that moment, the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you. You're able to gain perspective on what is going on and how to then approach the situation. So given that you are God knows my heart, how do you find yourself dealing with things that will require your emotional intelligence? Do you show up to those instances with the sharpest emotional intelligence, or get there, get there, get there?
No, okay, I'll just ramble on with this answer. I don't know if I'll make sense, but I'll try. I am able to show my emotions. I think the one person who's a victim of that the most than God is my roommate.
When
my
husband. That time he's saying, I'm in the storm. Give me power to power on. Yeah, he's testifying.
So when there are certain situations where I will vent out, you know, and it's not about him but to him, where I will come back. Sometimes maybe I'm driving from work, you know, that whole 20-minute drive, and he'll just be on the phone listening, saying, okay. And then when I get home, I know that now I am calm, you know. But in certain situations where I feel like, Gunigia, there's another person, I won't mention by name in case they're listening. When it comes to church issues, he knows. I will call and I'm like, hello, I have a bone to pick with you. And then I will go off. Why was the Holy Communion when little, I'm joking, not that.
Okay.
But the other thing, so like I do, but when I go to God, I've so far I've not really have that thing where I would be like, I God, hi. Like I feel like if a situation arises, so listen, like here's the thing, I do ask from God.
Yeah,
I want the millions. I do ask for, like, I do ask and I do show my gratitude and everything else, but the other emotions, I just feel like, I don't know. But yeah, for other people, when it comes to other relations with people, I would rather keep quiet. So even Bumi, for example, has stepped on my toe, I won't address it now. I would rather I take action of whatever action needs to be taken, which is not laying of hands, and that's it. Then we'll discuss the issue when I feel like I'm calm. And I think being surrounded with the people that I'm surrounded with, and I won't lie, the grace of working where we work, more especially the radio, where we get to speak to a lot of people, you know, with these issues, I've learned to walk away, go and breathe, then come back and deal with the issue.
Yeah.
Because if I react now, it won't end well. It will escalate. And besides that, I'm not a violent person.
Pastor, I'm more curious to hear your view and your experience, especially because you are a pastor and the idea is that you should have your ducks in a row. I mean, come on, you disciple the church. Surely you know how to disciple yourself too in this instance. What's been your experience?
Well, like that of David, that of Moses, they all had such instances when, you know, the Lord was too heavy for them to carry, and they had to take it to the Lord. And so the beauty about all this is God already knows.
Yeah.
So even if you hide it in the prayer and in your discussions with him, he already knows what is in your heart. He already knows what is loading you down. And so just open up and tell him. In fact, we can be very honest with God because we can't hide a thing from him.
Not a single thing.
So just let it out, say it. And the beauty about saying it is that when you say it, you get relief from saying it. You let it out and it's gone. You feel better. So he already knows. Just go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
This goes back to the scripture we just read. Be anxious for nothing, but take it all to God in prayer.
And I'm so happy you're taking it there because we're running out of time and I really want us to land this plane by coming down to the very essence of what emotions are, right? I think we all agreed that they serve as a mechanism and as a tool for us to be able to relate better, whether it is with God or each other. And the verse you just shared from Philippians 6 verse 7, do not be anxious and the peace of God will guard your hearts. We also read in Psalm 42 verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. And finally, in Proverbs 17:22, that says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. I think what I'd love for us to do now as we wrap up is to give a parting shot to those who are listening and to people who might be in our situation or not even in our situation. But this is a question I'm throwing out and I want us to answer collectively. How do we make space, whether it's in our churches or in our homes, for people to feel without shame, but also without being ruled by those emotions? Because the truth is, emotions are meant to be signaled, not masters. And we can't even deny our emotions because God doesn't call us to deny those emotions, but to process them in his presence. Yes, we're allowed to feel, but we also required we're not required to obey what we're feeling, right? So this time I'll start with the pastor, go to Zan, and then end with Nakwe, and I'll give my contribution as well. How do we make space in our churches, in our homes, and even for ourselves to feel without shame, but also without being ruled by those emotions?
Well, I think to begin with, when you say, how do we make space? You're talking about those of us who are in leadership positions over those that we lead. First of all, we ought to understand ourselves that we are human. And as human, we ourselves have emotions, feelings. Mm. And sometimes we get loaded down by these emotions. And if we the shepherds, under shepherds, if you like, have such feelings that load us down, then you'd expect that other human beings will also have the same problems.
Mm.
And so we need, because we understand ourselves, we need to make space for others to come and vent on us, to us, about what they're going through and not judge them.
Mm.
And so we need to create a space where we are non-judgmental to those that are struggling with whatever struggles that they have, because this is real.
Yeah.
And if we are in a position of leadership, then we are the ones they have to look up to. Because if we don't help them, who will? Because if we are the ones leading them, then we must be the ones to help them. So we must understand them from our own perspective. Mm-hmm. We have this feeling for ourselves. And if we are leaders, then not that we are, but we must be better off. Not that we are, but we are better off. And yeah. So we must be the ones to help those we lead. So create a space where we are not judgmental and people can be comfortable to come and air out what they're feeling and going through and find help from us.
I love that. Suzanne?
Could I just, maybe before she comes in, let me just leave you with just one more text. I doubt if I'm going to have another opportunity.
Sure.
this is David, Psalm 55, verse 22. He says, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares. And so as leaders, we must understand God cares, and we must allow people to come and cast these cares on the Lord through us. And like Moses, take them to the Lord in prayer.
I love that. Thank you so much, Pastor. Mrs. Zama.
Amen. When this is spoken, guys, we can close this show. It's okay. Me and Nakwa fine. Take what Pastor said, guys. No, but to add on, Pastor has said, I would say, because I think since we've been speaking about emotions for the past 2 weeks, it's okay to have your emotions. It's okay to express them. It's okay to be in your feels. One thing we need to do is that we shouldn't let the emotions run us or, you know, rule us or take over even the rationale that we have. And when it comes to God, I always say, I think either Pastor or Nako said it, that, you know, this whole thing is personal. And I know a lot about our relationships with God and salvation, but it is personal. And also, let's embrace the wholesome God. For me, it's always like that, so that we don't have those conversations where we're going to say, the God of the Old Testament, and you're like, what's that, you know? So is that let's study God holistically. Let's do that. And I love how Nako, you know, referenced that whole conversation that happened in the AWR group, which was quite interesting and funny to read as well, to say that someone was saying, no, we can actually be angry at God because we are made of him. So we are like him. So everything we're doing, you know, we have learned from him, you know. But even the sentiments that we shared last week, that even if that is the case, let us learn to regulate that, these emotions that we have. But other than that, speak to God, man.
Yeah.
If you don't have a neighbor who you're gonna vent to, even if you do have someone, you know, but God, let us take all our cares and burdens to God.
Amen. Sister Nako?
Yeah, thank you so much. I think this has been quite an interesting conversation. I learned a lot myself. I every moment of being here. I don't think I'm going to have another opportunity to say thank you. So thank you so much. I've learned a lot. You know, sometimes when you learn from expressing yourself, that's when you get corrected and say, no, it's this way, not this way.
So true.
And I'm glad we came to a conclusion and to an agreement to say that we cannot define God with our own limitations. He's beyond and above us. And I'm happy Uzanele has someone that he can always vent to.
Mm-hmm.
But for some that don't have someone they can vent to, I would encourage you that speak to God first.
Yeah.
Even before you talk to someone about something or something that has to do with your emotions, the first stop is God first. I know that I wasn't happy about God, about a certain thing. So I prayed for a very long time and this thing is not happening. And I said to God, God, I'm done praying about this thing, you know. If you're not going to help me, it's okay, but I'm not going to pray about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I need you to peace. And you know what? Ever since I had that conversation with God, I remember very well because I was sitting on the edge. I was not kneeling down at that point in time. I was sitting with God. I was on the edge of my bed. And we spoke, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And after I cried, I can boldly say that I have never experienced such peace in my life, other than the peace that I had after that. And this is what I can say, that when we express our emotions, let us also understand that Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turneth away wrath. At all times when somebody speaks to us and their voices are high and the emotions are high, let us understand as Christians, we are to tone down and talk to the person. Even if you're angry, tell them, I'm angry, but please do not shout, because you are now just fueling up a fire. Finally, the other one that I want us to part with is Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful.
Yep. Love that. Absolutely love it. I think for me, my parting shots would be, you know, we often speak of faith as a mind and will issue alone. But the truth is, faith is also a heart journey. We cannot separate our faith walk from what we're feeling, what we're thinking, and what we will or will not to do. And, you know, the Psalms in their totality show us that we can be full of sorrow. We can be full of questions. We can be full of emotion. But being full of those things doesn't mean we are void of faith. We can be full of all of those things as equally of, as full of faith as those things as well. And for me, I think when we really talk about emotions on the whole, I would encourage people to do the work. Just do the work. The uncomfortable work of confronting, and I'm going to use this word very loosely, but I think in this context people understand, of confronting your demons, confronting your trauma, confronting the things that have hurt you in the past that are going to have you not express emotion or express yourself in a way that allows you to, you know, have that quiet and gentle response when emotions are high around you. We have to do the work, because what doing the work allows is it increases our capacity, right? It increases our capacity to feel our own emotions and know what to do with them. But like the pastor said, when we understand our own humanity, we're able to extend grace to other people. But you cannot extend that grace if you haven't done the work. So do the work. If it looks like going to therapy to know how to regulate and manage your own emotions, please do that. As Nako has said, we have got to start with God. We have got to pray. And sometimes going on our knees, the distance will be too far. Sit on the edge of that bed or stand across that kitchen counter. But whatever it is, we have to go to God and process what we're feeling. And another thing that doing the work allows for us to do, it helps us deal with triggers better. I don't think there is anything as painful as responding to a situation as a 30-year-old as you would have as a 14-year-old who didn't have the tools and didn't know how to react to things when they were triggered. Our age and how we are navigating life has got to show that we are growing and we have done the work that allows for us to stand and relate to people the best way we can. And so I just want to say, emotions are part of the way we image God. We are made in His image, and our emotions are part of how we reflect and image that. And like every part of our humanity, they're not in need of redemption. If you're sitting there thinking, yo, I need to be redeemed from how I'm feeling, no. They are not. Also, you also don't need to reject what you're feeling. Process it, deal through it, and go through those emotions the way God has instructed us in the Bible and in the counsel that we have in the spirits of prophecy. So I think my parting shot is, may we be people who feel deeply, who process wisely, and love fully. And just like the one who in whose image we are made, I think if we can do that, we will reflect Him very, very well. This was our conversation today, and I hope that Derek will be proud of how we navigated this conversation. Above all, though, I pray that God is pleased with how we landed it and how we were able to understand each other and bring people to an understanding of themselves as well. Thank you for joining us, everybody. This was Bible Perspective, Emotions 2.0. And this was Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. We'll catch you again next week. Well, Derek will catch you again next week. But the show still goes on. Tomorrow, there's something else for you to munch on and for you to feed on. From us, from me, Zanele, Pastor Andrew, and Sister Nako, happy Sabbath and God bless. Cheers, everybody.
questions from the Bible. Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.